And hello and welcome to another episode or edition, shall we say. Rick Stannard is with me and we are part of the Conservative Thought Hour. Carrie Black along with you. It's an hour of enlightenment and intelligence. We hope to make you enlightened and we know you can think for yourself. We like bringing you national, regional, local guests. And Cindy Gross is with us this morning. She's a former teacher in Queens, New York City. A former congressional candidate as well, and chairwoman of Jewish Vote GOP. She currently hosts Cindy's Celebrity Corner. Ooh, that's fun. A New York-based entertainment show. Now, corruption, critical race theory, and anti-white and anti-Semitic racism aren't new in New York public schools. Award-winning teacher Cindy Gross has been fighting this for years, blowing the whistle on racist language used by the principal at the schools where she worked and exposing other corruption and bad deeds in New York's schools. She's also a huge Trump supporter who ran for Congress. Gross is a veteran at battling New York's entrenched left, and she joins us this morning. What an honor to have you on. Good morning, Cindy.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I only hope that my work helps at least one person, because there's the expression, if you save one person, you save the world.
That's the truth. Cindy, I know that you specifically are talking about schools in New York City, but this is an epidemic across the country, so our listeners should...
This really is not about New York City. I remember when the murder of, or the death of Freddie Gray happened, and everybody blamed the failing Baltimore school systems. The same thing happens in Chicago, L.A., places where Democrats run the local and the state and a lot of the national level seats. This is happening over and over again. It's all tied together with teachers, unions, money, and endorsements, with the local school boards, with the local superintendents and teachers, and various organizations tied to schools. So it's all really wrapped into one little package of failing public schools. I think it's becoming now first a topic of discussion, because as people are getting out of their homes and starting to rebuild their lives after COVID, they have listened for over a year of the American Federation of Teachers Union boss, Randy Weingarten, talk about keeping schools closed, the mental instability of students, and her attacks on President Trump for years. When everybody now is starting to see whether or not they are Democrat or Republican, progressive or conservative, black, brown, white, tall, short, young or old, urban or suburban. Students must learn. They failed, public schools failed miserably on getting quality education through over a year of a pandemic.
And that's not even just the inner city schools. That's suburban schools are also failing pretty miserably.
Correct. But yeah. we're talking about, it happens to be where I taught, and I was a whistleblower who was promised whistleblower protection, which means my confidentiality was supposed to be kept and never any retaliation. Instead, my confidentiality was broken by members of the Department of Education, and my life was risked, and I had major retaliation brought upon me in the most bogus, what they call their kangaroo court arbitration, where the Department of Education and the teachers unions paid for transcripts and their own witnesses went against them. But because they paid for everything, including the arbitrator's fees, they terminated me, and they terminate others who try to help out students. And people want to know why this is going on and on and on. The principal of my school was arrested for stealing money from a government agency, the Housing Authority, and was allowed to come back to work. Then she wrote on a calendar, CP time is not expected here. And CP time means colored people's time. Now, if I wrote that, I would have been, I might, my, you know, would have been on CNN, my headshot. the New York Daily News, mm-hmm. the Washington Post, and I would have been fired immediately with multiple lawsuits. She got a letter from the superintendent, please don't do that again. Well, after I complained, you know, I complained year after year to different areas, whether or not it was the Department of Education or the EEOC or the teachers' unions, and it didn't matter. But you know, after I left, everything that I reported came true, including the fact that the superintendent who defended her was arrested himself and was charged with sexual misconduct.
Wow.
Wow.
Cindy, being a whistleblower in America goes against everything we were taught right from childhood. We don't rat out anybody or anything. So whatever
Except
it was.
There is one, there is one law that does not apply to that. You can whistleblow and have protection if it means you're not helping someone break the law. In my situation, the people were breaking many, many laws, such as mandated reporting to social services. And we know in every in our city, there's an issue with social services. Also, the requirements to provide student services with IEPs and special needs. And those are mandated. Your tax dollars, wherever you live, whatever kind of school you send your children to, and whatever party affiliation you have politically, your tax dollars are paying for that. And I saw a principal slap a child, another person of authority, choke a child. There were hidden weapons. It was not a safe environment for first graders, for middle school, for even teachers.
Wow. Well, what exactly broke the dam for you? There had to be an event that caused you to blow your whistle.
Well, first of all, I am a proud American Jew, and there was a lot of anti-Semitism. There was a September staff meeting when the principal got up at a staff meeting and she said, it's because of the Jewish holidays that we can't get our reading and writing programs done on time. There were remarks made about Jews that were very inappropriate and inappropriate lessons. Then, of course, there was the hiring and firing. You would notice that year after year, there were people that were not the best qualified that were getting hired rather than those that were the best qualified to teach students. As I became more vocal, other teachers came to me. Like Jewish holidays that are maybe minor holidays, like where teachers take off and they pay for it out of their own pockets. It's their personal payday. They were being ridiculed, including myself. Another teacher was fired from another school in the district that the New York Post is highlighting. He was told white men cannot teach little black boys. So it was all of this that was going on. It was a double standard. Lessons that were real taught that were so factually incorrect. The fact that there was it was handed to me an email that went through the New York Department of Education's business email address from the black staff members, whether teachers or principals or working within the Board of Ed through the government offices. And it said white women were docile and easy. Now, you know that that is not appropriate. I don't have to explain that to anybody. I was in shock. I sent it directly to Randy Weingarten, who was then in charge of the United Federation of Teachers. That's the New York Teachers Union, before she became head of the American Federation of Teachers. And also somebody who happens to be one of the sharpest critics of President Trump. And calls him a racist. So I showed her these emails, and her response to me was, seen these many times, where did I get them? It wasn't even a shock to her. She knew this was going on. There were professional developments in other schools that people were telling me that were blatant anti-Semitic. The list goes on and on and on and on. Social promotions, teachers being forced to promote students that didn't deserve it. safety reports were never far completely. The lunchrooms were a disaster. You feared for your life in them. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I'm talking first and second grade. And I'm also talking, I taught in a district, and it's highlighted in the New York Post, that these are people from single-family homes. These are people that have that actually work, and there are actually two incomes in a home. You're not talking about projects. You're talking about middle-class America, mm-hmm. educated and working.
Wow. So why is critical race theory gaining such a foothold?
Yeah.
Two reasons. First of all, because I just explained that with the help of the teachers' unions, the superintendents' unions, and the relationship among elected officials locally and the unions, there was now 20 years of this idea of, failures and disregard for success and independence. So when you're taught by teachers 15 years ago that women are white women are easy and docile, and you're taught that 9/11 was not the fault of, you know, was not planned by radical Islamic terrorists, and you're taught over and over again, you know, people teach the Holocaust, they read the Diary of Anne Frank. Well, that's not the history, American history of the Holocaust even, or our involvement in it. And when you get bits and pieces by people not qualified to teach, and they get these teaching certificates out of places that really the evaluations have to really be explored. Well, now you have 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds who feel entitled, angry, frustrated, and they're hearing things like Black Lives Matter and their lives matter, and they're getting paid to go stand at rallies. And all of a sudden, it becomes a march, and it becomes a group, and it becomes national, and the growth of social media. So it's been there. It's been there under Common Core. It was there under multiculturalism. It was there under many different names. But the end result was we are now seeing the fruit of 20 years of this plan to make America last, not America first.
Well, Common Core was Obama's attempt at fixing problems in the school systems, but it certainly hasn't fixed anything. If you look at Baltimore, I understand that the majority of high schools there will have no one reading at grade literacy levels. How can
well,
this
I don't
be
consider
education?
I'm sorry. As I said, I don't consider President Obama the source of success for independent education, considering his own children went to private schools, his own children attended private colleges, and he and his family live a life that very few of us would ever live, because even though he doesn't like America, he certainly knows how to fulfill the American dream.
It's true. You're listening to The Conservative Thought Hour. Our guest this hour is Cindy Gross, a former teacher in Queens, New York City, former congressional candidate. In fact, Cindy, you ran for Congress back in 2020, correct?
Correct. And I am now, through Jewish Vote GOP, meeting with a lot of 2022 candidates from all 50 states, so that we can build our coalition. You know, the Democrats are much better than Republicans about having coalitions and building teams. And we are actually building it through my group.
Wow, that is great. So, Cindy, how are elected officials and the teachers' unions connected? Dive into that a little bit more.
Well, I'll give you an example. I helped write legislation in 2015 about oversight in classrooms of curriculum. And it was very, very hard. I did it in New York. I was able to have some bipartisan support, and it passed the assembly. But because of the money spent by the teachers' unions on campaigns and volunteers and phone banks, Republicans and Democrats feared getting attacked by them. So a lot of people didn't do it. In fact, it was a Republican state senator who promised to pass it to make it into law that backed out the last minute.
Wow.
And just remember, in 2019, Randy Weingarten partnered with Michelle Obama to do their voting program so that teenagers go home and get their parents to register and that they're registered upon their 18th birthday. So, I mean, to me, that's, I would say that's a violation of church and state in a way, you know, education and voting. But I guess it was allowed to go through. But the teachers union has a lot of power. I think more and more parents are looking now as what I always say, education is a nonpartisan issue that needs bipartisan support. And you're going to see more and more parents turn and question, go to school, you know, board meetings, local school ones.
Yep.
Look at your local officials. Go. You have every right to go to your local district office and ask to see the curriculum, ask to read a textbook, and highlight things you don't like in it.
Amen.
And then bring it to the school board.
Yep.
The problem
correct.
Is
but
it, that,
and now you're not going to be alone because there were so many other parents like you.
Yeah, but what we're seeing is a school board that might as well have been hired by the teachers' unions. Mm-hmm. I mean, the school boards are going far overboard to the left. As an example, in Fairfax County, Virginia, at Justice High School, they had a commencement address given by one of the school board members, and she spoke in English, Spanish, and Arabic. And one of the things she said was, you're graduating to an overwhelmingly depressing world, which is filled with terror and greed and capitalism. Remember jihad. Now, this is a message from the school board to the graduating kids.
Well, it's going on. The teachers union in New York had a rally about how to educate students in public schools about Palestine versus Israel. In San Francisco, the teachers union, and in LA, the teachers unions are voting about bringing Palestinian lessons into the classroom at the expense of teaching facts about American Jewish history and Israel. You had it going on in Boston. This is what happens when you have people who aren't proud Americans suddenly getting power. And this is one thing that's beautiful about our country. No one is putting a gun to anyone's head to stay. If they're not happy here, they can take a plane and leave and rebuild their lives elsewhere. Nobody makes anybody stay here. Believe me, for every person that's not happy here and wants to leave, there are at least 20 other people that want to come in.
Oh, there's a lot more than that. I just as an aside, and it's off the topic of schools for a moment, but I noticed where the Biden administration has finally decided how to solve the southern border crisis. They're going to fly airplanes to the South American countries that are sending their immigrants to us, and they're going to fly them here at taxpayer expense.
Oh.
So they don't have to walk all the way and they don't have to go to the border.
Oh, well, I think there's a better
better grief.
Solution. I think his name is Donald Trump, and I think he's going to the border with Gregory Abbott, and I think there's going to be more support to that than any planes going into Guatemala.
Oh,
yeah,
tell you. You can't make this stuff up.
Nobody's supporting it.
No.
No, nobody's supporting it's the Department of Secretary of State and Homeland Security that are going to fly plane loads of illegal immigrants into this country and set them free.
Wow.
Well, the Republicans have to stand strong and unite, and they have to build their coalition and bring in independents and Democrats that are not progressives, that are not communists, that are not socialists. And believe me, they think they have every minority group. We saw President Trump, and I did a lot of work with this, with the National Diversity Coalition. His building of coalitions among minorities for the lowest unemployment rates, for the best job and education opportunities, not to mention the only working criminal justice reform that they were happy with. And that was just the beginning.
Yep. Well, it's true that we have to get more involved in our elections as Republicans than we have been. But it's also true that, that the local elections must not be ignored. You know, the elections for school board member are critically important. Mm-hmm. We cannot just sit back and let whoever wins have their way.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I emphasize that on every meeting we have. We have monthly meetings. We invite any one of your listeners to join us. We don't ask for any money or anything more than an hour a month. Get to know, and we've actually hooked up a lot of our listeners with their local and state officials so that they could work with them. It's not just school boards. Mm-hmm. It's getting to know your town supervisors, your county executives, your city council races. Those people want have the time to get to know you and work with you. And those people are really the ones that decide most of your local budgets, your local library books, mm-hmm. your local school districts, your streets for infrastructure. So they are really the most important. I know we all talk about going straight to the White House in 2024, but there are many steps to get there.
Yep. Well, I'm a big fan of local government up to and including state, because it's the states that are protecting us against the federal government at this time.
Mm-hmm. You also have to check, though, in many situations, the local governments, even the local GOP, we know this about 2020, the local GOP county chairs and state committee people were not pro-Trump. And they didn't really care about the national election because they were more worried about local jobs for their family and friends where they were making big money. And they were willing to forego congressional seats and Senate seats. And that's why you have some of these states where it's consistently blue. There's no reason. We have a mayor's primary next week. We have city council and county races in the New York. And I know it's going on in a lot of other areas. You have a recall in California. Well, you know, they keep saying these states can't turn red. The truth is, with the right leadership on the state level mm-hmm. and in the local county level, it can, because the grassroots come out for President Trump.
Absolutely. It's so true. Cindy, where can our listeners find out a little bit more about you? We've got about a minute left before we have to take a break, and we want you to stick around. Where can our listeners listen to you? I know you've got, you actually host WOR 710 AM in New York City. Where can they find out more about you?
Well, first of all, they could look on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. I would love to hear from them. Anybody has any questions from your area, I'd love to help you hook up with your local people. Great. I also have a show, Cindy's Celebrity Corner. It's really entertainment because we don't cancel culture. We encourage it. And I have on the most progressive artists and entertainers and the most conservative. So if I could bring an hour of common ground, then that means there is some hope. That's what we feel.
Great.
And you can download it anywhere. iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple. It's on every major podcast outlet.
Wonderful. And Cindy Gross is her name, spelled G-R-O-S-Z.
Cindy, we have, as a country, gone away from mandatory union membership. But a bill has been put forward called the PRO Act in Congress, which will allow unions to require membership to work. So, you know, teachers' unions will force membership, even if you don't believe in what the teachers' unions are doing. In San Francisco, the teachers' union is highly anti-Semitic, and supports the BDS movement. If you were a Jewish teacher in San Francisco and your dues were going to undermine the Jewish people of the world, how would you feel?
So I will tell you, I lost my job, my retirement, all my benefits, my health, etc., standing up for minorities as a Jewish activist and as a proud American. And I would do it again in a minute because it's the right thing to do. Unfortunately, not too many people think the way I do. They need a paycheck. They need their health care. They need their benefits. They need their, the flexibility, the hours. I am only hoping in 2015, when Donald Trump was then candidate Trump against 17 other candidates, he stated he would either eliminate or diminish the power of the National Department of Education. And we all know, I mean, we all had feelings, but we all found out at the end that Betsy DeVos was not the right person for the job. And should he either run or if he's going to build the coalition through his groups, then he has to make sure his candidates stand firm about that goal. He achieved so many other goals, and he was right on so many more. He was so right about the coronavirus. He was so right with China and Russia. And as a proud Jew, I stood as a VIP at the embassy opening. I stood next near him at the White House when he signed the executive order combating anti-Semitism. And it was very funny because standing right next to him were two Democratic Congress people who were very proud of that moment, and the next day voted to impeach him.
Yeah.
I was invited to the Abraham Accords signing. I couldn't make it. But the list goes on and on and on. This man says and means what he does and he believes in, but he can't do it alone, and he needs the right people around him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think there's any question that he didn't have a full complement of supporters around him in 2016, and that was part of his downfall. You've got to, if he wants to drain the swamp, he has to do it the day he comes into office again.
Yeah.
Even beforehand, because there were people on his campaign that were not working with him well. And you know what? No one is perfect, but we could run down the list of people that were so close to him that turned out to be so against him. And don't think they're still not out there working hard to make sure that Trumpers are not heard. What's going on with the January 6th? What's going investigations and attacks on people, comparing that to what Black Lives Matter did, or comparing Donald Trump Jr. and Hunter Biden. It's like, where's Hunter?
Yeah.
What happened to the Durham report?
Yeah, what a good question.
But Cindy, Hunter Biden's artwork is going to be sold for like $500,000. You heard that in the news, didn't you?
Mm. And Ella Emhoff is with Vogue and going to be walking New York Fashion Week when we had Ivanka Trump, and who is a fashion designer before she was a president's daughter. Nothing. So go figure it out. I can't answer you. People, because people don't really want to learn. They just want to fluff. And that's part of the reason why America is in so much trouble now.
Well, Jimmy Carter started the Federal Department of Education, and he left to not great acclaim, and Ronald Reagan came in, and the first thing he tried to do was end the Department of Education, but he couldn't get it done. We need a much smaller government, and that would be the first target if I had the power of the presidency.
Yep.
And if President Trump wants to call upon me for any help, it would be my honor, because I know his heart is in the right place. He totally gets it.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. Okay. Well, would the schools reopen if they reopen again in September?
So
what do you think is going to happen in the schools?
This is what I think is going to happen. I think somehow, some way, something's going to happen between now and September that we are going to have some kind of a shutdown again, whether or not it's going to be another threat of a virus. I think that with the growing inflation, with the craziness on the border, with the comedy show we just saw at the press conference yesterday in Europe and the embarrassment of both the president and the vice president in their press conferences, to the fact that even CNN and NBC are sharing these videos all over the place and not stopping them from getting around, says a lot.
Yeah, that is shocking, isn't it?
Absolutely. So I don't know what to... I do know that people are going to be angry. If you think your price of eggs is high now or a gallon of gas, wait till you see September.
Oh, jeez.
And they might find a way to shut down to hide all this. And, of course, what will be the first to go? The schools.
Yep. We'll destroy another year of schools, and we'll destroy the kids who need the education.
Yep.
And you know what the joke is? They're really destroying the people they pander to, the minorities.
But why are we paying teachers not to teach?
There are good teachers out there. I mean, I was an award-winning teacher. My principal won, I think it was $35,000 and a major award for third-grade state test scores. And so there are good teachers out there, and they should be recognized. It should be a job that's respected, as well as quality administration. But there are others that take advantage of it. The same way there's good and bad, and we just discussed this in the administration. It's buying that bunch of grapes. There's that delicious, crunchy grape, and you eat 10 of them, and then you taste one, and it's sour.
Yep.
And that's really where we're at. But we're too judgmental, and we're too critical. We're not looking at the whole picture of a future and working together.
That's true.
Well,
Cindy.
Go
ahead, Rick.
I'm sorry.
No, that's absolutely true. The left is winning the fight to separate us from each other, and we have to fight harder to stay together.
We do. And Cindy Gross has been our guest. And Cindy, thank you so much for your time. And again, please give out your Twitter handle where our listeners can contact you and find out more about you, my dear.
So it's Cindy Gross, G-R-O-S-Z, or Cindy's Corners, all the major social media. You go to my website, Cindy's Corners, and you can listen to my show, download it, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean. We even come out of Israel with Jewish podcasts. I want to just thank you for having me and for really... very educational conversation. You brought up a lot of great details in the time, and it was really an honor to be a guest on your show.
Well, thank you. We look forward to maybe having you back.
Thank you very much.
Rick, what a great interview with Cindy. She brought up a lot of great points. I know you, my friend, have some more thoughts on that, don't you?
Boy, is that the truth. We've just spent some terrific time with an absolutely wonderful woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's been said that heroism is not something we can look to achieve, but rather it's something that happens to very few of us who are inadvertently put into positions that, quite frankly, we would rather not be in. And yet, once in that position, we all have a very simple choice. The easy solution is to cower away from the challenge, protect ourselves, let someone else do the hard yards, kick the problem down the road. The hero's choice is to stand tall and say, hang on a minute, this is not right, and I'm going to do something about it. A hero can often be filled with doubts. Are they doing the right thing? But they persevere anyway. and make run after run at injustice and unfairness, and yes, perhaps it even pure evil. Of such stuff heroes are made. And Cindy Gross, to me, is a hero. She made the choice to become a teacher. First and foremost, one does not become a teacher to get rich. Becoming a teacher, spending 4 or 5 years of one's life, and perhaps $100,000 in tuition, is a choice that in itself takes significant amounts of courage. Then to come into a school and face what are sometimes difficult students often causes a teacher to doubt that they have chosen their life's path well. Many elect to put in their hours until something better comes along, and then they leave teaching. Or worse, they stay in teaching until they retire and have no positive effect on any of their students. A few, like Cindy, force themselves to excel at teaching. They find ways to deal with the difficult students, and they become the kind of teacher that some of us remember as having been a good influence in our own lives. I was lucky enough to have 6 of these teachers before I left formal education, and I remember each and every one of them. I think of them often and smile yet another thank you to their memory. Cindy would have been this kind of teacher for those students, smart enough to absorb what she was teaching. But hang on, Cindy is no longer teaching. This is a complete travesty of the natural order. She noticed things happening in education that she simply didn't like, and this was her moment of decision. She could have kept her mouth closed and let things happen, but no, she stood up for her beliefs and battled against the powers behind the changes. And at the same time, she became inadvertently a hero. She fought a lonely battle, eventually deciding that others would agree with her if only they knew. So she became a whistleblower in New York City public schools. And what was her reward for her efforts? To get fired. Here was an award-winning teacher being fired for standing for her beliefs. And there are laws against firing a whistleblower. But she was fired anyway. And if you think firing her was the same as silencing her, you would be wrong. Far from slinking away head down, she continues her battle even now. A hero doing what she knows is right. And now she does it for any group interested in fixing what is wrong with their local schools. Is critical race theory screwing with your kids' minds? Call Cindy. Is Project 1619 teaching your kids a history that simply did not exist? Call Cindy. She'll come to your school and help. Our schools are virtually and vitally important to each of us. It does not matter if you are a parent. Schools prepare the next generation to take the reins of government. How this generation is trained will have a bearing on every one of us. We owe it to ourselves to get involved. But how? I can hear you ask. Well, let me ask you a question. Who sits on your local school board? What are their names? What are their beliefs? Have you spoken with any of them? When election happens, do you even care who is running for the school board? In one of our local Florida boards, they hold debates through Zoom meetings. You can find out all about the candidates without even leaving your home. The school board election is important. It is through the board that you can express your desires about what you want our society to look like and be like in the future. Watch the evening news. See where we are heading as a society and what we are becoming as a people. Understand that what you are seeing is a direct result of people before you who did or did not care what became of our country, of our society. We create our own future through the training and education of our kids. If you don't like what you see, here's a way for you too to become a hero, just like Cindy. 1, spend a few hours finding out about the most important topics happening in our schools. Critical race theory and Project 1619 are two pet projects of the American Marxist left movement to change the future of our country. Learn about these two projects. Find out what our schools are actually teaching our kids. Then go to your local schools. Make an appointment with the principals. Find out what their beliefs are in regards to CRT and Project 1619. In some states, the governor has done the hard work for you by making teaching of CRT illegal. And in some states, the schools simply don't tell parents that they are teaching critical race theory or 1619. If you wonder, 3, if you wonder what is actually being taught, you have every right to go to a school and pick up a copy of the books being used to teach. If the books are free of CRT, critical race theory, congratulate yourself on being a person who cares about our future. But keep an eye on the school board elections every year they happen. Vigilance is important. The minute we think our work is done, the minute we are again in danger. 4, if you do find critical race theory or Project 1619, your work is just beginning. You should go to every school board meeting you can attend. In most of these meetings, there is time set aside for questions and answers. And that is the time to stand up and ask questions. Questions like, is it a good idea to teach our kids that all we white people are racists? Look around at the other people at the meeting. They are often just like you, unhappy with how things are moving. Get together with them. Introduce yourselves. Trade email addresses and phone numbers. Get together with them and create plans for making your local school system work for the betterment of our society. You can make a difference. Bill Barr, who has been the U.S. Attorney General twice, now believes that public education is unconstitutional. His belief is that every state must allow full vouchers so parents are not forced to send their kids to public schools. Private schools should be fostered and paid for in the same manner that public schools are funded, with your tax dollars. And if public schools find themselves sparsely attended because their teachings are not in line with the parents' belief systems, well, then it's up to them to fix the product that they're offering. The key is get involved. Now, in coming shows, we have some very interesting guests. We will have Major General Jeffrey Schlosser, who commanded the 101 in Afghanistan.
Yep.
He will have some very interesting thoughts to share with us on today's military. His book, Marathon War, is must reading for anyone who cares why we send our young men and women into harm's way. Roger Garside is a former British diplomat who twice served in the British Embassy in Beijing and served in the World Bank in Thailand. It is his belief that the Chinese leader, Xi Jinping, will soon be ousted in a coup. When this happens, the world will change forever. Roger will be speaking to us from his home in London. We will also have an hour with Dr. Patrick Moore, yes, a co-founder of Greenpeace. He has written a book called Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. If you have any nagging feelings that you are being fed yet another load of environmental malarkey by our politicians and scientists, you will need to listen to this exclusive guest available only here on the Conservative Thought Hour.
Rick, what a great segment on your own there, and what great insights. Thank you for enlightening us here on the Conservative Thought Hour, my friend. That was great.
Happy to do it, Carrie.
All right. You've listened to another edition of the Conservative Thought Hour. We hope you'll join us. We're here every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. until 10. For Rick Stannard, it's Carrie Black wishing you a great rest of the weekend.